Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forsomuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and for that to save which was lost. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Lord, we thank you, and we thank you that these are not simply words that are dead, but rather words of life that are speaking something new to us today. Words of hope, words that remind us that you recognize us as your children. Help us to receive it. Help us to receive your grace. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Excuse me for just a moment. Today I'd like to announce that I'm leaving the ministry and joining the Mexican Wrestling League. My moniker will be El Pastor. Actually, that's really hot. I want to tell you that. His follically challenged. That is really, really hot. My young friend brought that to me, and I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you, Louise. He just wanted to see me put on a mask and worship. That's all he wanted to see. But I was thinking about masks, and I was thinking about masks, of course, because of today, what it is. It's a time when oftentimes people dress up, and they put on masks. In fact, actually, as my mom and I were driving home from that drive-thru, we saw all sorts of interesting creatures driving cars around Yuma yesterday. It's towards the evening. All sorts of interesting outfits sticking out of car windows and on the way to gatherings, let's say. Masks, however, I've found at least, are something that don't simply happen or occur at Halloween. In fact, there are individuals that work a great deal year-round wearing masks, putting up a facade, trying to keep the world out. Believe it or not, there are even some folks who attend church who do the same thing. For us, we understand that we don't have to put on a mask anymore. We don't try to cover ourselves up, but rather allow the person that God is creating in us to come forward, to be shared, to be offered, to offer love, to receive thanks, to offer thanks. In other words, to build God's kingdom as the people that we are truly called to be. It certainly, sometimes, can be scary when we take off our masks and we see the real us. But when we do that, God loves it. God loves to see that because He cherishes us, each and every one of us, more than we can imagine. Now, that's not just me talking. That's God talking. This isn't about what Neil thinks. It's about what God is doing already in our lives, not only individually, but as families, as community, as His church, building His kingdom. It is very much about God's grace. And that's what every Sunday, what every Sabbath, what every worship is about. God's grace for us. God's grace reminds us that it's okay to be who we really are. And maybe God can tweak that person just a little bit. I'm not sure if there's anyone here who's like me, but I don't think that God's finished with me yet. Anybody else? Has anybody arrived at sanctification yet? Anybody? Just wondering. I'd like to talk to you afterwards. You can float down here to the altar afterwards. God, you see, is always, has His hands upon us, molding us. We've talked about that image of the potter and the clay before. Psalm 17 reminds us that God is at work deep inside of us as we are open to Him, as we trust Him. Okay? Certainly God is going to do things in us even if we just sit there like a bump on a log. What does that phrase mean, by the way? A bump on a log. Think about that. But not too much, because I have a few more things to say. If we sit there like a bump on a log, yeah, God might do some things. God is going to move in our lives. It's God, for God's sake. It's God who's going to be moving, who's going to be filling us, who's going to be sustaining us, churning, working in ways that we don't even see, and then all of a sudden we say, wow, God, you blessed us once again. It's not coincidence. If whoever's alarmed, that is, if you need to go ahead. Don't let me stop you. Psalm 17, as we're open to God, if you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, this is speaking about God, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. That's what it is to trust God. Because when we trust God, He equips us to be able to do His work. He equips us to live free and open, not trying to keep a mask on, not trying to fool anybody, but just being who God intends us to be. Isn't that great? There's a lot of freedom in that, my friends, whenever we can just be ourselves. Some people say that to you, and maybe you even know one of these people, and they say, well, I'm just myself, and I'm just going to be myself no matter who likes it. And you think, oh my. Oh my. Maybe that's somebody that you pray for every Sunday. I'm not sure. Maybe they're sitting next to you. I'm not sure. I have no idea. Don't elbow anybody that's sitting next to you right now. But, you know, maybe, who knows? For us, it's who God seeks for us to be. And it reminds us also that God knows us. And God knows our names. With a name like Neil Leftwich, I get interesting spellings, pronunciations, all sorts of things. But this past week was the first. I've gotten Luftwich, Luftwich, Witch, W-T-I-C-H, Halloween. But this past week I got a first. The first name was spelled N-E-E-I-L. So it was Neil. Neil. God knows our names. God knows who we really are. And you know what? God still loves us. And not only does God love us, he likes us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to hang out with us. And he calls us into a deeper communion with him. It's a story about parables and also about stories that Jesus told. They're like fishing lures. I don't know if anybody's ever fished and used lures. Parables are like fishing lures. They're full of attractive features, and they end up with a sharp little barb on the end. So they kind of attract you in, and then, oh, that's for me. Okay, got it, God. This story of Zacchaeus. There's a song about Zacchaeus. Some of you maybe have learned in Sunday school. Choir, do you have that ready for us? No, you don't have that ready for us this morning. But little Zacchaeus, I shouldn't do that with this group because they might be starting to sing. Little Zacchaeus, wee little Zacchaeus. There's a lot of emphasis on his being vertically challenged, short in stature, a small person. There's some commentators, in fact, that whenever they talk about this head tax collector, a tax collector who had other tax collectors working underneath him, there's some commentators that would say, well, whenever it says he was short or small in stature, it actually is referring to his spiritual life, to his character. He wasn't fully developed yet. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I think he was just short. And you know, rather than trying to get through the crowd, anybody ever attend a parade and there's people that are there ahead of you and trying to get between those people might be a little bit of a challenge? Well, if you're short and maybe you're at elbow level to some of the other people and you're a tax collector and you've been taking their money, do you think that they might get in a shot here and there possibly? Just like, oops, sorry Zacchaeus, I didn't see you there. Didn't see your ear, didn't see your eye, kind of give a little shot. So rather than trying to cut in, that's why he runs ahead to the tree. And that tree was the perfect tree for him to sit on. Sycamore tree, kind of low branches, solid. And he could sit there and he could get a great view of this rabbi that he heard about, this teacher, this prophet, this miracle worker. Word of Jesus, you see, was spreading. Jesus didn't live in some sort of vacuum where it was just the people that were in front of him. Jesus' name was spreading far and wide, and people were hearing about it, and people were curious. Some people were excited, some people were angry and fearful, and some people just wanted to know a little bit more about Jesus. Zacchaeus was one of those people, even though he's a tax collector, and he runs up ahead, and he climbs up that tree to get a look. Now, was it coincidence that that tree was there? No. Was it coincidence that the crowd wouldn't let him in to get a closer view of Jesus? No. This is all God's working, so that Zacchaeus would be front and center and not give any mistake at all when Jesus called his name. What happens whenever God calls our name? How do we respond? Do we pretend that it's for someone else? Wrong number? Do we have call waiting on God and say, oops, it's God again. I'm just not ready, Lord. Don't really want to follow you. I have too many things to get done. You know, Lord, I just got back in town. I got to go to Fry's. I got to shop. I got to go ahead and open up. Got to do this. I got too many things to do, Lord. Okay? But call me next week. I should be okay then. When God calls your name, we are called to respond. And we are called to say, yes, Lord, here I am. It's another biblical truth earlier on that we heard about. Zacchaeus is not simply called, but what happens? He has a luncheon date that he didn't know about. He didn't know was coming. Sometimes pastors have been accused of showing up at people's homes at mealtimes. Or when something's just freshly baked out of the oven. If you provide me with a schedule, I'll make sure I'm there. So that's what I'm saying. Scones, cookies, things like that. Also, they're always appropriate at the office. Enough of that, though. Enough of that. You know, Zacchaeus was called down, came down out of that tree. Okay, now mind you, all these other people, and we talked about this last Sunday, he'd been taking money from them. And he was really wealthy. Okay? And Jesus calls him. You know, it also takes some guts and some grit and determination to go ahead and respond to God when other people are looking down on us. Whenever they wonder why in the world God would be calling us of all people. But Zacchaeus responded, didn't he? He responded in a wonderful way. In the word that our brother shared with us this morning, we understand that after Jesus said to him, "Make haste and come down," Zacchaeus received him joyfully. And when they saw, they all murmured. Boy, that's a challenge in the church today still. Murmuring. Oh, did you see what they did? Did you see what they were wearing in church? Did you see that glare off of his head this morning? Gosh, my goodness. They're all murmuring. Murmur, murmur, murmur. All that stuff going on. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Before I continue now with Zacchaeus' response, we understand that whenever we look at the gospel, also in Luke, sinner, that word is used more often than any of the gospels. And there's a point to that. Salvation is pointed out and brought forward as this truth. It's not our action, but rather God's action in the world and in our lives through Christ that brings salvation. Certainly we respond, but it's still God who initiates it. Isn't that awesome to know that? Amen? God's the one who initiates it. Now, back to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, and remember, he was joyful also. Although other people were looking down on him, although he'd just taken off the mask and he was really going to show who he really was, and there were people who were murmuring, and there was a lot of tension because there were some people who outright hated him, and they didn't think he was worthy of being with Jesus. Zacchaeus stood, and then he did something really amazing. Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Half of my goods is very wealthy. And if I've defrauded or cheated anyone, I'm going to repay them fourfold. Now, from Exodus, from Leviticus, we can go back and we can look at some specific laws that pointed out how you go ahead and take care of when you've wronged someone, okay? If you've stolen from someone, if you've been a thief with someone else's goods, it gives out specific instructions. And Zacchaeus is saying, I'm going to take care of that after I've given away half of all of my wealth. I'm going to cover it all. So not only has he responded, and he's responded joyfully in the midst of other people downing him and chastising and murmuring about him. And he's responded immediately. And then he said, whatever I have is yours, Lord. After all of that, what does Jesus say? Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. In other words, once Zacchaeus took off the mask, and truly, opened himself to this churning inside that had been going on and responded to God's call in his life through Jesus Christ, salvation came. He was who he really, really was. And he realized that God knew his name. And then the key passage here. And this actually sums up the entire gospel of Luke, by the way, in one verse. Verse 10. Verse 19, 10. If you want to know what the gospel of Luke is all about, here it is. I'd invite you to read the entire gospel, but here it is in Reader's Digest form. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. There we have it. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was lost, and he responded to God's salvation at work in his life. And he responded not caring what anybody else thought, but rather following this God who he realized loved him, knew him, and considered him his child, a son of Abraham. My question today is, where are you watching Jesus? Are you behind the crowd, wanting to kind of get through and get a closer look and be closer to him? Are you running ahead, climbing up in a tree and maybe kind of someplace nice and comfortable where you think, well, I'll be able to see him pass by, but I'm not going to have to respond? Or are you responding to his offer of giving over your life to God completely, fully, and without reservation, and doing it joyfully, not worrying about the murmurs around you, but rather recognizing that God knows your name, specifically knows your name, and even spells it right? This morning, my friends, that's the question I'd like you to ponder. I'd like you to ponder as we think about later on today seeing people with masks, first of all, that we can take our masks off and be who we truly are before God. We are His children. And then also ponder, as we come into our time of discipleship, where you are, where you're watching Jesus. If you're watching Him from afar or if you're with Him in ministry. That's only a question that you can answer. I'm not going to judge it, that's for sure. And it's not my place to do that. But rather, where are you? Have you accepted that invitation from God? An invitation based in love to get to know Jesus more personally as your personal Savior and therefore understand God more intimately. And as we go into this discipleship time, you can close your eyes, you can just kind of think about Jesus coming in to that place, calling out Zacchaeus, and imagine him calling out our name, actually. And what would our response be? Put yourself in Zacchaeus' place. What would your response be? Jesus wanted to dine with you. What would he respond? How would he respond to how you answered him? Know that God loves you. Know that God is with you. And know that God simply wants you to say yes to offering your life to Him through Christ. What a joy it is. What a peace it affords us to know that God is in control. And God's love is in each and every breath.